This is a story. And in this story, I'm going to use spaces, places, to paint a picture of the human heart. Not the beating heart in your chest, but the soul. Just as sure as you are sitting in this room, you have a soul. You have a space just like this. This story illustrates a reckoning, a confrontation that takes place in the heart of every human being at one point in their life or another. So let's begin. A knock at the door. A letter. They've come to my door before. In fact, they come every day now. Sometimes they sit in piles. I know they come from the one who made me. I've pried them open before. I've taken a peek, I've looked, and what I began to read or what I've heard they say scared me. They are letters of the law. I know that much, but I've stopped looking. I know some of the terms, like sin, or that there's a Ten Commandments or something along the lines of things you should do or shouldn't do, and I chalked most of this up to I'm basically a good person and nobody can be perfect, so why even read these letters? But still, a knock at the door, another letter, and they pile. I open one. They read, "This is a notice regarding payment due for your sin." My eyes glance over the letter and I read, "My standing is in sin. This is backed up entirely by laws that I've broken, commands I've not followed. There are dates, there are times. This one's for just this morning. Everything has a cost. Each one of these actions is death." At the bottom it says, "My current standing is in sin. Full payment is required. Death, physical, spiritual, and eternal. This is a debt that will be collected." I sit and I wait.
Heart of stone. That's the grace we're celebrating all night tonight. We're here to fix our eyes on Jesus, the creator of the universe, who stepped down to redeem us from this broken world. He gave his life as a sacrifice to forgive us and to heal our souls. Let's look to the Savior and worship him.
Oh, Well, welcome. You may have a seat. Welcome to Lone Oak, and thank you, worship ministry team, tech team, and all that are involved. My name is Scott Thomas. It is a privilege for me to serve here as the pastor of Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and I'm so glad to tell you that this is what I feel like every morning when I get up to preach. It is just the most magnificent presentation of worship and music, and I'm so thankful for our team, Brother Mark, and others that are involved. We want to welcome you to the Easter musical called The Gospel, and we want to thank you for making the time to be here with us. If you are a guest, if this is not your home church, we would love to connect with you, and we invite you to help us know that you're here with us. You can text the number that is on the screen, any one of these words, news, if you want to know what's happening in the church, connect. If you are new, we would love to connect with you. If you need to respond to the invitation that we're going to extend later in this service, you can even text that number. Or if you want to text the word group, that will give us an opportunity to connect you with a life group here so you can find your place and begin to experience all that God is doing in and through Lone Oak First Baptist Church. This is not a performance. We are here to worship and to celebrate the risen Savior, and I believe that we've already gotten a taste of how worshipful this evening is going to be, and I'm excited. When we talk about the theme of the gospel, tonight we're going to hear about what the gospel is, the good news, the story of Jesus, the problem of sin, and how Jesus conquered all so that we could be set free and ultimately have the invitation not only to be forgiven of our sins, but to experience eternal life through Jesus Christ in heaven. And that is good news indeed. Near the end of the program, we will have an opportunity to respond to this gospel message. You will be invited to respond to Jesus if he has been calling you or convicting you. But in the meantime, we want you to be a part of this worship service, listen to the message, pay attention to the video and to the words, and give special attention to what God may be calling you to do in response to the gospel message that you hear tonight. Again, I thank you so much for being a part of this worship service, and I invite you to pray with me before we continue. Lord, we are thankful that you would invite us here and give us opportunity to host such a magnificent worship event and experience. Lord, we ask that you would help us to lift our voices to you and to express, even through the talent of instruments, to express our thanksgiving and worship to you because you are deserving. And we ask that you would help us, Father, because we want to sing praises to you. This is the time, this is the season where we remember that it is Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins and that he also was risen from the grave, resurrected, never to die again. Lord, help us to understand more clearly that gospel message and help us to lift our voices in praise. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
John 5:25 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live."
My God's on His way.
there's a mystery in the gospel that even the angels long to look at. First Peter tells us that we should set our hope fully on the grace that we have found in Jesus and in Him alone. Our response to this amazing grace must be awestruck praise. Let's stand together. Let's respond to this gift of grace. Listen as Ashlyn and Rachel lead these first verses.
All hail King.
I fear the worst. The knock never sounds unfriendly to me, like the army is gonna barge in. It's not like that. It sounds like the knock of a friend. That's the one thing that's kept me sane. These letters can't mean this. I close the letter, I put it down. I wait. Time has gone by and still these letters come. They tell me all of the sins I've committed. If I ignore them, the feeling in my chest dulls. But when I open them, it sharpens. I can see very clearly that I have failed. I even tried one time to remedy some of these problems and reduce the frequency of these letters. Like if I behaved better or if I started to obey more. And that only made me more exhausted because the letters continued to arrive. And then there's the pile of letters that have been coming my entire life. Here in the floor, how can any one person pay these off? One day I woke to a knock. The same knock. That somehow friendly knock. But there's an urgency in that knock today. Then a voice. Friend, turn the page over for good news. All this time I'd never thought to read further in. If I were to boil everything that I have read for years and years on these letters as I see the law and how I've broken it, what could this other side say to me?
Made a way for me to know.
good news. There it is, right in front of me. The answer. The other side says grace. How? Because he paid the debt. He conquered death. It says here that the wages of sin is death, just like the other side reads. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. How can this be? It goes on to say that the creator of the world, my creator, the Son of God, who is author of the law, the one I've broken, came to live here, had a physical body just like mine, lived a life according to the law he wrote, perfectly, never earning a bill of trespass like I have, like all of these letters strewn about in my heart. Then he gave his life, willingly to be punished for me in death. He received this punishment for me, in my stead. It says that God raised him from the dead, and that he lives today, knocks at the door of my heart, a king of a kingdom that is to come, a savior who saves, a bringer of life, one who wishes to take this death off of me. I'd no longer be a debtor like this. I could be bought by him, by his sacrifice, and that I would follow his command to love, that he would remain in the Father's love and that I would remain in his. This is an easy yoke. This is a light burden. I should have answered the door all along. Jesus, the Son of God, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. His word says, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. Today I am free. Jesus Christ, my friend, has set me free. And for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is a picture of the heart, clothed in grace. No longer a debtor to the law, and gladly a debtor to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, the creator of all things, God of the universe, my creator, my savior.
By the fire, your words
cross shows us God's awesome power and God's amazing love. His love never changes, no matter what is happening to us or around us. Many people on this stage and in this church are going through very difficult circumstances. Job losses, broken relationships, serious diseases like cancer, and even the tragic deaths of loved ones. Some people face such circumstances by blaming God and questioning, why doesn't He love me anymore? Trials like these can be devastating, but does God still love us? Yes, He does. Has His love changed? No, it has not. When you face circumstances like this, you can ask God to show you what is going on. Ask, Lord, what should I do? But never doubt His love for you. Go boldly in prayer before your Heavenly Father and share your burden with Him. But always see your pain and sorrows behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, don't ever let me look at my circumstances and question your love. Your love for me was settled once and for all on the cross. When I see the cross, your love demands my soul, my life, and my all.
Oh. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Let's stand and let's sing together. He is our living hope. Before Christ, this was our life.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night.
And Jesus, you came.
Then through the dark, the promise, your very
salvation in no other name. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated.
Is good news. It is the record of everything this story tells and how it relates to you. It is the grace of God for anyone who will accept it. It is not a call to better behavior. It is freedom from the old law of sin and death. That's why you don't see anyone sad at a baptism. It represents the death of that old life in slavery to sin and resurrection in Christ. You were either in sin or in Christ. And when you are in Christ, you are clothed in grace. In sin, you are burdened by sin. But after Jesus and in his resurrection, you are a child of God. The bills keep coming. And you might even think you've got to clean up your house. But the Savior has done the work. When the bills come to the door, they are marked paid. Paid by the Son of God. He says his command is to love one another as he has loved us. He remains in his Father's love because he obeyed his Father's commandments. And we obey his commands to love one another as he's loved us. Once you open the door and he lives with you, he's in the heart. Cleaning up the bills, behaving a little bit better, avoiding trespassing the law is love because he's done the work. It's faith in Jesus because he's done the work. Do the math. These bills say death. One of these says death as much as 1,000 of these say death. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free. Our actions can't save us. He saved us. And when we act, it is in love and faith in him. That's why, as the word says, no one can boast. No one can be proud of themselves. But they can point to their Savior. They can point to their paid bills. They can point to the Son of God. May his kingdom come. May you hear the knock. May you open that door. His kingdom is coming. He brings life. And you can share in that. It's resurrection. It's good news. All you have to do is open the door. All you have to do is let him in. This is the knock of a friend. He wants to live life with you. You don't have to clean up your house. You don't have to shove the bills under the rug or make the bills go away. You can't, but with him, he wipes everything clean and calls you his friend. We can only be convinced that his love is so great that he looks at everything we failed at and says, "You matter more to me." So what's in the way? God has removed every barrier but that door. Reach out your hand, reach out your heart, and answer him.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Please have a seat. I want to share with you again what we've heard throughout this evening. God created all things, and he did so, and it was good. He looked and he said it was good. And he set out this perfect law of what we should be, how we should be, how we should live. And man was created, and we have lived, and sadly, we've all sinned. That's what the video, the story has been telling us, that not just all of the sins, but each sin comes with a consequence. We have the condition of sin, which is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have fallen short. We've missed the mark of what God has set as a standard because of the law. And the consequence of each of those sins, not all together, but each individual, is death. It is a painful, awful, miserable, impenetrable debt that we owe against God. Death. And there's only one way that that debt can be paid, and that is with death. You must die for every sin that you have ever committed, past, present, and future. And that is an impossible situation. But the good news, the gospel, is that God saw us in that condition, facing those consequences, and said, I don't want it to be so. And so there must be a debt paid. There must be a death given that would cover the cost. Now, here's the problem. In order for us to have our debt paid by a death, it must be by someone who doesn't have to pay their own debt by death. In comes Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a life, and we say it characteristic, but it's true. He was sinless. Now, this is why it's important, because Jesus had no sin in his life. When he went to the cross of Calvary, he could die death, not for his own sin, but he could die for someone else's. And why don't you guess who that was for? It was for you. It was for me. It was for all of us. It was for any who would place their belief in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you to be saved. You see, Jesus, never having sinned before, he could pay the debt for someone else because he didn't have a debt against God. So Jesus died on the cross. The story goes that he was put in a grave for 3 days. I like to say, because it's an important part of the story, it was a borrowed grave, and the reason it was borrowed, because he wasn't going to need it for long. After 3 days, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, not for his sins, but for our sins, after 3 days, God in his power, he resurrected Jesus from the grave. And can I tell you why? Because God, when he saved us, he didn't just want to deliver us from danger, but he wanted to deliver us into safety. By the cross, Jesus Christ died for our sins to deliver us from the danger of the consequences of sin. But in the resurrection, my friends, Jesus was raised from the grave to deliver anyone who would believe in him and follow him into the safety of eternal life. That's the full gospel message, and we all say amen. Amen. Now, here is the moment that we've been waiting for. You see, the truth is the truth, and the truth has been told tonight repeatedly. But the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it will only change your life if you will receive the free gift. See, we can sing about it. I can preach about it. We can put it in your hands. We can put it in front of your faces. We can set it down in your laps. But unless you make the decision to receive Jesus by faith, you will continue to live in the consequences of sin. And I want to tell you, friends, that hell is a very real place. And if you do not have the blood of Jesus Christ on you, washing you clean, you will go to hell, and it will be your own fault. Because the gospel's here, the gospel's being proclaimed, and the invitation is now being extended to you. Would you make the decision? Would you answer the friendly knock at the door? Jesus is saying, you have this debt, and I'm coming to let you know that I am grace, and I have come to set you free. Would you turn over the debt sheet and look on the back and see the cross of Calvary and the stamp that says, paid in full by the Son of God? And would you accept that free gift? I want to invite you where you are to stand. We're going to have an invitation. Everyone in the front, in the back, in the balcony, if you would stand where you are. I'm going to invite our ministers. If you're a minister serving with us during this invitation, would you make your way down front? Go ahead and stand in your position. If you're working on our prayer team, our altar team, I want to invite you to make your way down front. Tonight, my friends, you've heard the gospel. Tomorrow is not promised. Later this evening is not promised. Death can be sudden. And as soon as death comes, so does eternity. And so if you sense that God is calling you, if you feel God is convicting you, whether you're sitting in the front or in the back, whether you're in the balcony, if you were on the end of the pew or in the middle of the pew, I'm telling you, don't let anyone hold you back from responding to this invitation. Because you know the good news. Now will you receive it into your heart? And would you say yes to Jesus? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And at the close of that prayer, the invitation is going to open. And I'm encouraging you. If you need to make a decision for Jesus tonight, if you need to come forward for baptism, if you need to make any decision, maybe you just need someone to pray with you or pray for you. I want to invite you not to wait, but after we close this prayer, step out, step forward, and let us celebrate what God is doing in your life. But whatever you do, don't stay put when God is calling you out. Lord, we pray for this time of invitation. My prayer, Father, is for those that are present who have heard the gospel. They know because of this perfect law that has been set, the standard. They know, Lord, that there is a consequence to sin, and they've heard that because of Jesus Christ, they can be set free. They can be forgiven. Father, would you move among us? Would you press us to respond in obedience to your call? And Lord, would you help us to understand, to sense the urgency of this call, that we would not neglect to respond, but that we would receive Jesus by faith into our hearts. And so, Lord, I pray for the man or the woman, the teenager, the child, present tonight, filling the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that they would respond in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation is open. Who needs to respond?
Let's all respond by singing, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Give him all the glory." Some of you need to respond and come forward now. This is your time.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. Look at the wounds that give me life. Grace flowing from his side. No greater sacrifice. What he's done.
praise for what he has done? Praise you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You've been a wonderful worshiping audience tonight. And we have one more four-minute song, but it is the cherry on top, the exclamation point. In case you didn't get it, we want to make sure you understand that Easter is not about a bunny. It's about Jesus resurrecting from death and being alive today. And you can look at every other major world religion and go to the grave of their founder and find their body in the tomb. But you can't do that with Jesus because he ain't in the graveyard. Message of Easter. Hallelujah. So go and tell that good news. If you don't have a church home, join us next Easter Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning, 9 and 10:30 here in the worship center, also in the multi-purpose room. We're going to have some great worship celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive. Go and tell that good news. Father, thank you for the worship we've experienced. Thank you for the life of the gospel
that it gives. And God, may we share that with the world. May you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.